Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Keeping with company results, and this time, significant contributors to South Africa's economy. Exxaro, which is the country's largest coal miner, today shared an update with regard to its half-year earnings. And of course, reflecting the dynamics of the cycle, where both productivity was down by at least 13% on the back of a performance seen in the previous year. However, there is some opportunity and great prospects in terms of the outlook of the business. But one person who knows all about this and is going to unpack the numbers for us further is Dr. Nombasa Tsengwa, who is the CEO of Exxaro Resources. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Dr. Tsengwa, and welcome to Kaya Biz.
Yes, it's my pleasure, Gugu. Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
Excited to be with you. And I do recall at the beginning of the year, you were out in the snowy slopes of Davos. It was quite a busy year. We were reflecting on elections that were going to take place globally. And of course, the expectations of stability in South Africa. Perhaps before we get into the numbers, let's start there just by getting your reflections on the local political economic environment, policy, and the structure going forward in terms of business in South Africa.
Thank you very much once again. Look, this is a question we get, and we got quite a lot today. Mm. And glad to say that, you know, even though we don't like to get ourselves too involved in politics, the feedback we've got from our international markets, some of the work that the Bank of America has done in terms of talking to, you know, global fund managers, some who used to be in this country, who left, who have expressed a lot of interest and positive sentiment to look at South Africa again as an investment destination, and really waiting to see how this new government is going to respond to its own challenges, whether the government will invest its policies. But there is that renewed hope that what they've seen happen has been, you know, good progress. And the fact that we've got different parties of different strengths that have played out in the political space for over a long time, that is that promise that together these parties could really come up with a better solution for South African things.
And it is refreshing to see that, especially when it comes to the railway infrastructure, and we will touch base on that in just a moment to see some of the positive prospects that come through from that. But looking at your interim results, it is a very clear and adequate reflection of the macroeconomic environment that we perform in. Commodity prices and, of course, the reduction in output that we've also witnessed from the business. Help us contextualize how you've had to adapt to the nuances of the climate.
Yeah, look, we've been hit quite hard as well by the volatility and unpredictability of the market. As you know, I mean, with all what's going on with the Russia-Ukraine, the war and the conflict in the Middle East has created some kind of stress on the market, which in some aspects has played positively to the price. But obviously, our challenge has been our access to the market because of our transmit challenges. We've also seen inflation, you know, overhang for quite some time and only relenting now, you know, which really has changed our cost structure in the operations. And coming back to the transmit issue in terms of its impact on our unit cost and our cost of doing business, where now we've got to look elsewhere, you know, to compress cost. So there's been really quite tough challenges. In this period, as we've mentioned in the last half, we saw a few challenges in the water bank from the two power stations where they had a few breakdowns that limited their offtake of our coal. That also had some impact, you know, on our volumes and our numbers. And so overall, challenges everywhere. Lower pricing in the first quarter. But suffice to say that what really paid off for us is the work that we've done coming from the 2016-2017, investing capital into the business, improving the quality of the product mix in our from our supply, especially for export market.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we anticipated, Gugu, was there will come a time where high quality coal becomes of value, especially in the face of reduction of emissions, carbon emissions, pursuing some of the climate change targets. To the extent that we were able to open up the Japanese market, which has grown quite significantly. We are quite excited about that because the Japanese take high quality coal. So
yes,
we really are very excited with that. The Indian market continues to take our coal, especially when the price is softer. We do see a little bit of stocking in there, and we know that India is moving towards a monsoon period. And, the European market has retreated back to its normal, gas consumption.
Mm.
But we're very hopeful that the output is good. But the work that we did, it has really showed a lot of, good value in as far as how the price that we realized against the API coal, which is 95%, really a function of the quality of the coal that we trade. We have been able to demonstrate a 97% average price realization in the past.
Mm.
So our early value strategy is really paid off. The way we look at the market, the way we manage our operations, our agility, the people behind this agility really has been our savior in this last half.
Mm. Certainly. And perhaps let's touch on that in terms of the operating environment and, of course, looking to actually expand into other commodities on the back of the cycle that we see when it comes to coal. The coal price itself also being under pressure. And we're well aware that commodity prices are cyclical. And as mining houses, you play your positions, but, of course, also benefit from the upswings in these commodity prices. Help us contextualize the potential view on M&A activity that you've highlighted earlier today.
Yeah. So maybe another thing that sometimes we need to talk about, because we tend to talk mining, we tend to talk Transnet. But just to say that on the energy side, maybe just to balance very quickly, we've seen very good performance. Our wind farms are doing well.
Yes.
So there really has been preservation of our EBITDA margin, at the levels of 79-80%. So just suffice to say that, there's been very good performance there. Our Lephalale Solar Project, which you know very well, which is under construction, really excited about. So really very good, outlook there, Google. So in terms of our diversification, we're very bullish about our strategy. We're still looking into our M&A program, but we will not go in and just do a deal for the sake of doing it. We're looking for value-accretive deals. We're still looking at manganese. Manganese in our backyard.
Mm.
But you know that there are no willing sellers in that manganese field. So it takes a lot of effort to engage diversity of shareholders in each one of those assets makes it even more complex. But we are at it. We are also looking at copper. So I can assure you that in the selected commodities, and even the ones that we are going into beyond the three that we originally chosen, there is no single opportunity that misses us. We look at these opportunities.
Yes.
We be diligent. And we're very happy with the progress that we're making. And we've got it still now to do this under our new chief of growth.
100%. I'm glad that you've contextualized that so that we do understand that it does take time and fully reviewing these acquisitions to be purposeful for the business. I'm keen to talk renewable energy and perhaps how that also speaks to people. As we know, Exxaro has been heavily invested in, of course, taking a very responsible approach in terms of your ESG focus. But that also speaks to the talent pool, perhaps, that you are looking to attract when it comes to mining. And I believe this might be of interest to many South Africans who continue to see mining as an evolving sector, requiring perhaps a different skill set.
So we see ourselves as providing energy solutions, Google, if you just take a few steps back. Because our coal business is really looking after the energy needs of today, making sure that we stabilize the grid. And we see the skills that are in the sector of mining, which is that which I've just mentioned, was obviously evolved into the new areas of minerals. So it's a good space to be. And as the coal becomes less and less important in the economy, regrowing the business, which is the energy solutions of tomorrow, today, yes, and tomorrow, in terms of renewable energy, doing everything we can in terms of working with government to solve what, you know, our transmission grid issues, whilst we participate, you know, in the REIT program, and also, you know, providing our skills to other businesses to generate green electrons. So there is a lot of, I think, purpose in terms of how we look at the skills. We have been very surprised by the intensity of skills and quality of skills, by the way, in the renewable energy space. I never imagined that there are so many, previously disadvantaged individuals, very young women who really joined the company with so much talent that we're very proud of. And these two businesses, as I say, they're quite self-reinforcing. And then looking into the future of the new commodities we're looking at, which will also be part of the energy transition and infrastructure and growth. So we're very excited that
Fantastic. Within
these businesses are complementary. We do see growth. We do see how we see the migration of the skills from where we at to a position where we are carbon neutral 2050.
100%. On that note, you've also paid investors a pretty dividend and showed confidence in terms of the outlook and strategy going forward. On behalf of shareholders, what can we continue to hold you accountable to in the short to medium term?
Well, you know, we need to be prudent in terms of how our capital allocation, you know. We had promised shareholders that we will then utilize our capital with them in mind, without obviously forgetting the fact that through the same pot, you know, we still have to create value for them into the future in our diversification program. And we will only hold cash of about 12 to 15 billion rand and not more.
Mm-hmm.
And when we make a determination that that cash won't be utilized anytime soon, then we will declare a special dividend like we did in March. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep our word to this, and our board will always look into evaluating where we stand with our capital allocation. And we're going to see them, by the way, starting tomorrow. They'll
yes.
be asking us these questions and we're
Definitely, the Investor Roadshow. Oh, your week has only begun, as it will be incredibly busy. Such a pleasure speaking to you this evening, Dr. Tsengwa.
Thank you, Kudu. Have a lovely evening. Bye-bye.
Fantastic. That is Dr. Nombasa Tsengwa, who is the CEO of Exxaro.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.